McDonald's, but occasionally I do go to Tim Hortons, especially now. And I don't always win, rub the rim, but I did win something, and I'm about to be gracious and give it away. All right? All right. If you take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 1, we'll begin there. We'll kind of do a look at two passages as we go there. But before we don't change the slide yet, but this morning, the sound guy in the back, he did a good job. He did a good job. It was Caleb. All right. Tonight, all the songs have one theme. And the theme of the songs is the topic that we're going to discuss tonight. We're going to look at who knows the connecting theme between the songs. It's not related to Tim. Were you home? Did you pick the songs? No? Okay. What?
Is he ever home?
No, I guess not. Eh? Richard? The blood. You ever wonder why the blood? You can change the slide. You ever wonder why the blood? Why such an emphasis on the blood? Why do we as God's people place such an emphasis? Why does God himself place such emphasis on the blood? And I hope tonight is going to be an encouraging night to you as God's people as we take time to meditate and think about and bring to the forefront of our mind some of the rich blessings that we are privileged with because of the blood of Christ. We'll begin in Colossians chapter 1, and before we do, let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you so much for our time together, and we pray that you would be honored and glorified tonight. Thank you that we could worship you in song and praise you and thank you and praise and in testimony for the great salvation you wrought to us in Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross, through the shedding of his precious sinless blood for us. And I pray that as we spend a few moments this evening considering the importance of the blood, I pray that we would be richly blessed and encouraged as we enter another week to serve you and to live our lives in such a way that magnifies Christ and glorifies you and is led and guided and aided by your Spirit. So be honored and glorified, be exalted, fill each of us with your Spirit to receive and to hide in our hearts and to apply in our lives the truths that you want us to learn and to embrace this evening. And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ is the significant, is the greatest demonstration of God's love for us. The death of Christ, the gospel, is the greatest demonstration of God's love for mankind. Isaiah 53 verse 10 says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." That's his son, Jesus. "He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands." In the Old Testament, God prophesied and God proclaimed in the Old Testament that it pleased the Father to bruise his son, to see his son suffer on the cross. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, one of my favorite verses, God commendeth or showed his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the blood of Christ, the death of Christ, the suffering of Christ, is God's greatest display of his love for mankind. Jesus willingly chose to die by the way God ordained, and that was by crucifixion, that was by humiliation, in order to express his love to you and I. And just as a parent wants the best for their children, so our Heavenly Father had the best for us in mind when he sent his son to die on the cross and shed his blood on the cross. So let's consider some of the wonderful truths of why the blood is so important and so significant and so precious to us. And we'll begin in Colossians chapter 1. As we first consider that the blood of Jesus redeems. It redeems. What makes the blood so precious is that it redeems. We see that. Let's begin in verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father. So we begin. This is a section where Paul's writing. He's praising God. This is a section that expresses praise, expresses worship and thanksgiving. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And in verse 14, referring to Christ, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The blood of Christ redeems. It's precious because it redeems. Parallel passage to Colossians chapter 1 is Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 7 pretty much reiterates the same truth. And it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The blood of Christ is precious because it redeems. It redeems by setting us free from our sin. The Father paid in full the ransom required to free us from being under the control and influence of sin. And he did that through his Son. And in these two verses, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, both emphasize this truth. That our redemption, that the forgiveness of our sin could not have happened if the blood of Christ was not shed. The blood of Christ is precious, it is significant, it is imperative to our faith. But not only does the blood of Christ free us, redeem us by freeing us from our sin, but it frees us from our sin because of whose blood it is. It's not just anyone's blood that needed to be required. Not just any man could shed his blood to atone for the sins of the world. It had to be a specific man. And we see that in verses 15 to 19. It says, referring to Christ again, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. You want to know what God looked like, how God would behave as a man, you look at Christ. He was the exact image of God made in flesh. Verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and before him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things, he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. So not only did we see in the Old Testament in Isaiah 53 that God was pleased to allow his son to suffer, but he allowed his son to suffer because before that, he was pleased by bestowing upon his son the blessing of his divine nature. In eternity, God the Father and God the Son are the same. They are equal, in essence, equal in their nature, in their divinity. And it pleased the Father that in Christ should all the fullness of his deity dwell. So what we have on the cross, what we have at Calvary is God shedding his blood. the holy God, the eternal God that we know about, the majestic God, the all-powerful God, the eternal God, God in flesh is shedding his blood to redeem us from our sin. So the blood is precious because it redeems. But secondly, the blood is precious because it reunites. It reunites us into a right relationship with God. We see that back in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 20. Begin in verse 20. It says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, I say, whether there be things in the earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, ye now hath he reconciled in one in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." The blood of Christ is precious because it reunites us to God. It brings peace to the relationship that we have with God. It says here in verse 21 that you, referring to you and me, you who are sometimes alienated and enemies of God in your minds by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Before we came to trust Christ as Savior, we were God's enemy. We were at enmity with God. We were a hostile enemy to God because of our wickedness, because of our sinfulness. But through the blood of his cross, we are made at peace with God. We are reunited with God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13 and 14 says this, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are brought nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." It was Jesus, and specifically his shed blood on the cross, that allowed us to be at peace with God. He, as our mediator, broke down that middle wall of separation between us and God, the Father. And he did that because through the sinless and pure blood being shed on the cross for us. His blood is the source of our peace, but his blood is also the source of our purity. The reason why we are able to enter into the presence of God is because our sin has been dealt with. It has been taken away and been replaced with God's righteousness. Another verse on top of my favorite list is 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For he," referring to God the Father, "hath made him to become sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Christ became sin for us. Christ shed his blood for us so that we could be made righteous. We could meet the righteous standard of God. And because now in Christ we meet that standard, we are able to enter in the Holy of Holies, enter into the presence of God, and to dwell with God, and to fellowship with God, and to go to God whenever we desire to. And it was all because of the blood. But not only does the blood is the blood precious because it redeems and because it reunites, but it's precious because it frees us. It frees us from the penalty of sin. It frees us to enter into the presence of God. Now let's flip over and spend the remainder of time in the book of Hebrews. Let's begin first in Hebrews chapter 10 as we consider this, that the blood of Christ frees, sets us free, makes us free. The blood of Christ grants us freedom to go to God at any time we need to, anywhere we are. We have free, unlimited access to God because of the blood of Christ. This would be some verses, being in verse 11, chapter 10. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, referring to Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Let's skip down to verse 17. And their sins and their iniquities, God says, I will remember no more. Now where remission of sin is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. We read there in verse 19 that we have the ability to boldly enter into the holiest, enter into the very presence of God. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. Because of the blood of Jesus. What we see here in our text here is that Jesus acts as our offering. As we consider the Old Testament and the Levitical priesthood, Jesus himself acts on behalf of us as our offering. He is our offering. He is our sinless offering, and he sheds his sinless blood so that our sins can be eternally and forever erased and dealt with. But not only is he our sinless offering, but he is also our serving high priest. He acts as our offering, but he also acts as our high priest. He acts as the one who takes the offering. He takes himself into the very presence of God. He takes his precious blood, his sinless blood, and he says to God the Father, this blood is shed for mankind, on behalf of mankind. And by that offering, by that high priest, our sins are eternally forgiven, and God's wrath is eternally appeased. And it's because of the blood of Jesus. It sets us free to enter into the presence of God, to go to God whenever we feel like it. When I consider this picture of a veil, it's sometimes hard for us to understand because we don't as Christians, we don't practice the Levitical priesthood. We don't offer sacrifice, and God doesn't dwell in a temple or in a tabernacle anymore. He dwells in our hearts. But the veil was a wall of cloth that was a clear indication that God was on the one side and man had to stay on the other side, and you could not enter into the Holy of Holies. Only one man, the high priest, could enter the Holy of Holies one time a year to offer a sacrifice for the entire nation of Israel. As I was considering that, I thought of, as I was a teenager, and this might be a poor analogy, but I was thinking as a teenager, and we can go to the next slide. This isn't me. All right? This is Army clothing, outfit. Sorry, clothing. I apologize for that. That's the wrong terminology. Abby just gave me the stare down. No, she didn't. I'm just kidding. But I was thinking of this. I grew up going to the Wilds Christian Camp in North Carolina, and they have an obstacle course there. And cabins are encouraged to go through the obstacle course. And this is one of the stages that you have to go to. It's a high wall, and probably 10 feet, or about 10 feet tall. There's no place for you to hold on to, no place for your feet to go. You have to work together as a team to get on the other side. Usually, one person, he's way down here, one person is on the bottom and helping other people up, and then by the end, everyone's up, and there's one guy left down below. and he has to jump up, and everyone else has to pull him up, and you have to work together as a team. You can't get to the other side of the wall by yourself. As I think of that, I think of this picture, this idea of the veil. We can't get to the other side by ourselves. There's no way by our own efforts, by our own righteousness, that we will ever enter, be able to get to the other side where God dwells, to be able to experience the presence of God, the blessings of intimately walking with God. The only way that we are able to experience the other side of the veil is through Jesus and his shed blood for us. And that is something for us tonight to greatly rejoice at, that if Jesus never died on the cross and shed his blood, he could have come to the earth. But if he never died the way he died and shed the blood in the way that his blood was shed, the blessing of us to wake up every morning and walk with God and talk with God and lay our burdens before God would never be possible if Jesus' blood was never shed on the cross. And finally, we see that the blood of Jesus is precious because it defeats our enemy. We have an enemy that we cannot defeat on our own, in our own strength, in our own ability, in our own power. But Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 says this: "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." Jesus himself took part of flesh and blood, "that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil." Jesus' purpose in taking on humanity was to die for humanity. And we read in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 that one of the reasons he died was to defeat the devil, to make him powerless in this world. So we have the power to overcome temptation. We have the power to resist the devil, not because of our strength and our knowledge and our self-resistance. It's because of the blood of Christ and the death of Christ for us. So why is the blood precious to you? Do you daily consider how precious it is to you? Because it is precious, and because it is precious, and because it is so essential to our relationship with God, we need to never forsake it, never abandon it. The sad reality is, for many years now, so-called Christianity is abandoning the blood. They find it offensive and repulsive. They find it gross and distasteful. But they're looking at it through the wrong lenses. They're not looking at it through the eyes of Scripture, through the heart of God. The blood is precious. Last slide. I love this slide. This is my favorite slide. This is my favorite slide. I don't know if she'll be able to do it anymore, but Baraka takes amazing pictures. It might be a little bit challenging right now, but love this picture. This is something that's very precious to me. I will defend them. I would never forsake them. I'm always thinking of them. I think of my wife every time I look down at my hand. I never take this off. Not even when I shower. I don't know if that's okay or not, but I never take it off. Never. It never comes off. On my phone, the only pictures you see on my phone, on my wallpaper, is that of my family. I got a message from somebody. Hold on. Hold on. Guess who it's from? No. Yeah, my wife. Yep. Yeah, it's from my wife. Should I read it? Should I? You better be fast. All right. You better be fast.
All right. Funny.
I know. Well, Pastor Stone can do it. I can do it, right? No. Not really. But on my phone, the only thing on my wallpaper is my family. I don't want anything else on it. They're the most precious people in my life. I'm not going to abandon them. I'm not going to forsake them. I'm not going to forget about them. The blood of Christ is precious. We can't abandon it. We can't forsake it. And we can't forget about it. Even though massive Christianity may be abandoning it, we cannot. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our time together. Pray that you be honored and glorified as we conclude our time together. And what a delight it is to spend a few moments tonight to consider the preciousness and the value of the blood of Christ. Thank you for your Son, who became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Thank you that your Son shed his sinless blood so that we can be able to draw nigh to you and enter into your holy presence and to fellowship with you. I pray tonight as we conclude our time in invitation, that we will conclude it in time of praising you from our hearts for the preciousness of the blood of Christ. Help us to always view it as a precious aspect of our Christian life. May we never find ourselves abandoning it, forsaking it, or forgetting about it. May it be near and dear to our hearts and close to the forefronts of our minds. We thank you so much for our time together. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your Son and his precious blood, in whose name I pray. Amen. I'm not